Life in the Rocky Mountains, Ellen G. White. Our journey from Denver, Colorado to the mountains was pleasant. While in Iowa, we had suffered languor from the extreme heat. In Denver, we also found it uncomfortably warm. But as we passed through the narrow valleys, up the course of the winding streams, we were refreshed by a cool breeze and felt invigorated. As we wound our way zigzag among wooded hills and rocks and mountains, we could frequently see no opening before us. But as we moved on, a depression appeared, a mere pass, on either side walled in by huge rocks piled one above another, rising almost perpendicularly, towering toward heaven, while mountaintops rose above mountains. There, barrenness is partially relieved by stunted shrubs and vines which cling to every niche and crevice. We had peculiar sensations of awe mingled with delight at the grand and varied scenery. As we advance, the lower mountains are covered with evergreens and poplars and are ornamented with rich flowers of varied beauty. From there, we could look down deep ravines through which a swift rivulet was dashing madly over the rocks in keeping with the wild, romantic scenery. The solemn notes of the mourning dove sounded with startling distinctness, breaking the silence which reigned around us. I was frequently reminded of the wilderness of temptation where our Redeemer overcame the powerful foe in man's behalf. The grandeur of the scenery viewed from different points as we moved forward was itself worth all that journey. The solitude of the road was occasionally relieved by a house nestled close to the foot of some mountain, while around it, patches of the little valley were cultivated, giving the whole an air of civilization. Cattle were feeding high upon the steep mountains, and it was a question with us how they could retain their footing. We are now settled in our quiet and pleasant mountain home. Mr. Walling has furnished us with a comfortable house situated at the foot of a little valley surrounded by hills and mountains. Just before the door is a swift-running stream of the purest and coldest soft water coming from the mountains. We have a full view of the snowy range, upon the top and sides of which the snow ever remains. The first day of July, the snow lay upon our piazza 1 inch in depth. The range was entirely covered with snow. The sun soon shone forth, dispelling the clouds, and next morning, patches of green began to appear between the fields of snow. We have more bright, sunshiny days here than in any other place I have visited. And yet, the weather is cool and agreeable. We have not had one entire day of cloudy weather since coming to Colorado. Clouds hide the sun for a few hours, and then he rides forth, shining again in all his glory. The mountains and valleys are thickly adorned with the fairest flowers of every tint and hue, giving the appearance of a flourishing flower garden. Upon the mountains and in the valleys, sweet-scented herbs and shrubs are interspersed among the flowers. The atmosphere is pure. I enjoy taking deep, full inspirations of the pure air. This is the most delightful country in which to enjoy sleep, for there is not that oppressive heat to provoke wakefulness. The face of nature possesses a charm for me. The naked, towering rocks, the mountains covered with noble evergreen trees, and beautiful with rich variegated flowers, make a lovely picture. The summer breezes move the lofty pines, swaying their branches and bowing their tops as if in adoration of their Creator. These scenes display in a most impressive manner the love, power, and glory of God in His created works. We are in this, our mountain home, reminded of the promise made to the children of Israel that they should inherit a land of hills. I love the hills and mountains and forests of flourishing evergreens. I love the brooks, the swift-running streams of softest water which come bubbling over the rocks, through ravines, by the side of the mountains, as if singing the joyful praise of God. It is impossible for us to get lonely or homesick among the grand old hills and mountains. Our thoughts are company for us. We love to contemplate the works of God as seen in nature. Our Heavenly Father has spread out before us nature's beautiful scenery to charm the senses, leading us to associate the perfection seen in His created works with His love, goodness, and glory.
We have, here in the mountains, a view of the most rich and glorious sunset it was ever our privilege to look upon. The beautiful picture of the sunset, painted upon the shifting, changing canvas of the heavens by the great master artist, awakens in our hearts love and deepest reverence for God. The surpassing loveliness of the blended colors of gold, silver, purple, and crimson painted upon the heavens seem to speak to us of the amazing glories within. As we stand, almost entranced before this picture of nature's unsurpassed loveliness, contemplating the glories of heaven of which we have a faint reflection, we repeat softly to ourselves, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." Movements. We take movements a portion of each day that we may regain and enjoy health. In order to strengthen the arms and chest, we have taken excellent movements in scrubbing woodwork, sweeping floors, washing dishes, and washing clothing upon the old-fashioned rubbing board, which we would recommend as a far better instrument to strengthen the arms and chest than the back-breaking washing machines. We take movements to strengthen the ankles and muscles of the limbs in climbing the mountains, prospecting, and gathering flowers. And frequently, we descend with our arms loaded with broken wood, which is scattered plentifully upon the mountains. We are becoming strong by healthful exercise. We enjoy physical exercise after close application to writing several hours each day. We sometimes become weary, but we rest and sleep well through the night, and in the morning feel fresh and ready for our day's duty. I have learned by experience that if we would have health, we must take a proper amount of active exercise. If we get into a perspiration, this will not injure us, if we are careful not to expose ourselves to a current of air. Proper exercise, daily, strengthens the muscles, aids digestion, and induces sleep. This, with taking full inspirations of good air, combined with plain, nourishing diet, free from grease and spices, avoiding pastry and unhealthy condiments, will do much to restore health to the invalid. Those who would enjoy the blessings of health and strength must have a proper amount of exercise daily. We should never be ashamed of labor. God has shown us that employment is ennobling, in that He gave the sinless representatives of the race something to do. They were to labor, to dress and keep the garden. It is nature's law that different faculties of the mind, as well as the muscles, lose in a great degree their power if not exercised. We want exercise in the open air as well as indoors. Nothing short of the pure, free air of heaven will answer the demands of the system. Ellen G. White.